Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
All right, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to try to cover the whole chapter. This chapter, we could spend months on this chapter alone. I got to tell you guys, this is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. There are so many golden nuggets in Ephesians 4. I want you to listen up, Saints, if you're listening by technology, and harvest some golden nuggets that will absolutely change your life. In fact, if I had to pick one chapter in the whole Bible that would apply to my daily life, it would probably be this chapter or Romans 12. By the way, these two chapters, Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, where we're studying tonight, are all about the body of Christ. When you think about the body of Christ, when you want to grow to love Christ and His body more, which should be the goal of every born-again believer in Christ, it can't get in you unless you read it, amen? Unless you get in the Word cannot get in you. You should pore over 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 concerning the body of Christ. Paul starts off here in verse 1 of Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Notice what he says again, just like he did in chapter 3, verse 1. He calls himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ in Ephesians 3, 1. Here he says he's the prisoner of the Lord. Same thing, because the Lord is Jesus Christ. Paul refused to give identity or accolade or his identity to anyone except Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Your identity as a born-again believer is Christ and Christ crucified. I love 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save or except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The word crucified, I got to throw this in. This is based on what Paul's saying here, that he's the prisoner of the Lord. You cannot preach Christ, the Christ of Scripture, without preaching Him crucified. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:1-23, we preach Christ crucified. Anyone who's preaching a Jesus that is not the crucified Lord of glory is not preaching the Christ of Scripture. They're preaching another Jesus. You must preach, if you're going to be a man of God, listen up. You must preach Christ and Christ crucified. We must get back to Jesus. The main thing is Jesus. Keeping the main thing the main thing. If we're preaching to please people, we need to repent and get saved. That's extremely crucial. There are two kind of preachers out there. There are those false preachers who speak and operate as to please mere sinful men in order to get them to continue to patronize their church business. Two S's at the end of business or dollar signs. Follow the money. If you got somebody that is not rebuking you and speaking the sharp two-edged sword of the King James Bible, you have got a man-pleasing fraud. Galatians 1:10 tells us, Paul said, if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. See, Jesus taught, same thing, no man can serve two masters. If you're a true man of God and a woman of God, a child of God, you should desire the rebuke of the Word of God. And you're not going to get that from these pansies that are peddling this false gospel, calling themselves pastors in the modern church world. Oh, brother, you just mean. No, it's just a clear observation to any Bible student who's truly honest with God and studies the Bible that these guys aren't preaching on judgment. They aren't preaching on hell. They aren't preaching on necessity to remain in Christ after being saved. They're not preaching holiness. They're not preaching denial of self, taking up your cross and following Jesus. They're not preaching the original gospel, and therefore they're accursed. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. You want to argue with God? Go right ahead. That's what he said. If you're not preaching the original gospel, let me stop and say this. If you aren't personally, diligently in the Word of God every day, studying to show your own self approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, how are you going to know the counterfeit if you don't know the definite article? If you don't know the Holy Scriptures and the doctrines of the New Testament faith, you are not going to know when someone's misleading you. And let me tell you, the flesh is the friend of Satan. If you're not crucified with Christ, you're going to be deceived and you will be damned eventually. Because if you don't love the truth, God is going to turn you over to strong delusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12 tells us that God is going to turn the person, any person over, and every person who does not love his truth. Let me ask you something before we go any further. Are you a person that's honest and valiant for the truth? That's a term we see in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3. Valiant for the truth. Are you valiant for the truth? Do you get up hungering and thirsting after righteousness and allowing God to fill you by spending your first waking hours seeking God in His Word and in prayer? That's a big question. I can tell you that anyone who isn't giving God their first moments in prayer and in the Word of God, the study of the Word of God, putting the Word of God first in your life, is already backslidden, is not ready for the return of Christ. Don't let anybody fool you. You can call it legalistic all you want. You certainly wouldn't call me legalistic if I told you that if you don't eat right, you're going to be weak physically. But as soon as you apply this to the Word of God and use the Word of God to apply it, because it's all scriptural, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. There's no way to grow without eating the Word of God. And get you a King James Bible. This 1 Peter 2:2 wants you to memorize that scripture. You really don't own a scripture or a truth in the scripture until you memorize the scripture. Let thine heart retain, memorize my words. Proverbs 4:4, let thine heart retain my words, says the Lord. True men of God, fearlessly endeavor. You're looking for a good fellowship? Don't look in the buildings. Let's face it, 99% of them are absolute circuses. They're totally apostate, which means it's simply departed from the faith, according to the prophecy of Paul by the Holy Spirit, when he said that the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall do what? Depart. That's where we get the word apostasy from. That's not a made-up word by men. That's Bible. They shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Are you being seduced by demons? Think about it. See, are you giving heed to seducing spirits? If you're not diligently grounded daily in the Word of God, I can tell you, you are. There's a whole lot of lazy people in hell that wish they had one more breath on earth to call out to Jesus. You prove that you love Jesus by seeking Him. Don't tell me you love anybody that you're not spending time with. Come on, man. Gentlemen, you're listening to me, if you're married, if you don't spend time with your wife, is she going to believe you when you tell her you love her? No, not at all. You're lying. You're deceiving yourself. You're seduced by sin and Satan. There are seducing spirits, 1 Timothy 4:1. Amen. Why would that be in the Bible if it weren't true? And notice, doctrines of devils. One of those is the once saved, always saved, eternal security, lie of the devil. And that has damned the souls of millions upon millions who were once saved in their earthly life, but then instead of getting in the Word themselves, listen to their favorite little Presbyterian or Baptist pansy pastor, lie to them and not listen to the Word of God by getting in the Word. God didn't give you and didn't give us His Word tangibly for you to go listen to some pastor. He gave it to you for you to study first and foremost, and for you to teach your family the Word of God, not for you to go depend on some guy on Sunday morning. How do you know he's telling you the truth? You put your soul, your eternal soul, in his hands, a mere man. Jesus said, let no man take thy crown. There's once saved, always saved, out the window again. We got a book called Lie of the Ages that demolishes 57 chapters, a landmark blockbuster book that demolishes, among other things, demolishes with Holy Scripture this idea that you're unconditionally eternally secure. You're not. Jesus said, if you don't abide, that means continue and remain in me, you're going to be cast into the fire. That needs no interpretation or some little seminary and sissy to twist. We know what that means. You're going to hell. And so how are you going to stay in an abiding relationship with Jesus if you don't count him important enough to get up and seek him? I guarantee you, once you do it, you're going to taste and see how good the Lord is in your daily life. The gospel is going to become real to you, and you're going to be like, man, I need some more of this. Hallelujah. I don't want to ever leave the house without being full of Jesus. He said he is only going to fill those who diligently seek him, only going to reward them. Hebrews 11:6. He said, blessed, who's blessed? Are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Are you full of Jesus? If not, I can tell you that you can be, and you're currently not if you're not, because you're not seeking in his face. You're not hungering and thirsting after his righteousness. It doesn't matter if you got $1 billion in the bank. You have nothing without Christ. Hunger and thirst after him. Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus says, before we dive into Ephesians 4, Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Don't tell me a man can't take your crown. Don't tell me you can't allow men, more like, to take your eternal crown, eternal life. Well, brother, that's just rewards. No, it's not. It's reward of eternal life. Don't give me that. It's just rewards. If you're not walking with Jesus, you won't be with him. If you don't love him enough to seek him on earth, you're not going to be with him in heaven. You might be a king's kid, but you ain't home yet. Jesus said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Does that need any explanation? Only to the deceived mind who's going to listen to mere Vatican-trained seminarians who are children of the devil. Who taught this doctrine in the Garden of Eden? Satan, you shall not surely die. Genesis 3:4. Wait a minute, who said that? That's the first seed thought or revelation of who taught once saved, always saved, unconditional eternal security. And it's Satan. God told the man and woman, Genesis 2:17, that if you sin against me, you shall surely die. He minced no words. Satan added one three-letter word that led to the fall of mankind, the fall of man, the first man and woman who were otherwise in perfect communion with God. Sin had not entered into the world. It robbed the fear of God out of their heart, and they fell. And it's doing the same today. If you're sitting under a once saved, always saved pastor, run. He is a fraud. And please tell him I said so. Send him my way. Now, in Ephesians 4, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul says he is, he identifies only with Christ, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That you walk worthy. That's a good memory verse right there. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The vocation, the calling. You're called. You're a child of God. You're born again. You're regenerated. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind, as we're going to read later in the chapter. So walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called and all that it entails. Remember, Paul, Philippians 2:12-13, work out, not for. Jesus is the only one to work for your salvation. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. You meet people that claim to be Christian, they have no fear of God in their life, much less any trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, I love this, which works in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. That puts a smile on our face. Verse 2, how do you walk out your walk with God? Notice, with all lowliness and meekness. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. What does that mean? Well, just think about the words. You suffer long. People got to hang around with me. They got to suffer long. They got to have patience. Probably I might have patience with you. That's how it works.
The descriptions for meekness that I saw was strength under discipline.
Strength under control. Yeah.
Under control.
God's control. Yeah. Amen. I like
it. Like a horse with reins. Mm-hmm. It has been broken and it has reins. Meek.
The horse still has all its natural strength, has all its abilities, but yes, it's under the control of the master who has trained it to be so. It's not broken. It's made something that's wild is made useful.
All right. So with all lowliness, I love that word lowliness. Get down low when the devil's got to go, baby. Because when you submit yourself, therefore, to God, you're able to resist the devil and he has to flee from you. He has no alternative. When Jesus rebuked the devil with the word of God during the temptation, during his fasting and prayer. That's a major component of victory in Christ, by the way. Fasting and prayer is what? It's the cross. I want you more than me. If you're not willing to fast and pray, it's because you're not yet ready, beloved, to say, Lord, first of all, I'm done with all this sin, because it's brought nothing but guilt. It's brought nothing but shame. It's brought nothing but remorse. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and charge you more than you want to pay. If you're not fasting in prayer, I pray God will harangue you and allow that sin to destroy you until you fall down flat on your face and saying, I'm going to push the plate away. I'm going to raise my hands and worship God. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's the summation of why you fast and pray. You want more of Jesus and less of you. Amen. More of him and less of me. I love that song. More of you and less of me. Forgive me if I messed up the tune, but some of you know the song. So with all lowliness, get down low, saints. Get down low. Humility is at the absolute foundation of Christ's teachings. Read the Gospel of Matthew. He is our example. We follow Christ. He made the furthest trip south that anyone has ever made in history. Philippians 2. He came from the glory of his Father, which he enjoyed for eternity, to lay down his life, the very Almighty himself. Revelation 1:8, Jesus Christ, all the way to suffering, the crucifixion to redeem us. The mind of Christ is preferring Jesus and others above yourself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. That's a great passage to start every day. You will be changed forever. You will have victory. I can tell you this, you're not going to have the victory till you get in the Word. The Word is not going to get in you till you get in it. And if we're not getting somebody in the Word, I know we get people mad and they run off. Well, that's fine. The ones that stay are going to be eaten up with conviction. They're going to be exhorted. They're going to be encouraged, rebuked, embarrassed, whatever it takes to get in the Word. So you start picking up that fork and spoon and shoveling that Word in your mouth, you're not going to experience that blessed food. Amen. That's going to give you strength. In fact, that's what ministry is. Nehemiah 8:8. Nehemiah and the men of God, as were instructed by the Lord. That's the only place we see pulpit, by the way, in the Bible. We cover that in the first chapter extensively of the book called Predators in Our Pulpits. Notice that they gave the Word itself. They gave the very scriptures like we're doing here, reading the scriptures, and then gave the sense thereof. That's what preaching is about. That's what ministry is. Reading the very, very absolute literal text of Scripture in the King James Bible and then talking about it to get people to think about it. That's summation of what ministry is. And did you notice that right after that, in the same passage, verse 10 of Nehemiah 8 is that famous verse, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Mm-hmm. Now, who is the joy of the Lord, the strength? Those that are in the Word. There it is. They gave the Word. The people heard. They listening. They all involved themselves in the Word of God, and the ministers gave the sense thereof. But the people were feasting on the Word and put the joy of the Lord in them, which is their strength. I love Jeremiah 15:16, another memory verse. Jeremiah said, thy words were found. You got to look and dig to find, amen? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Are you eating the Word of God, beloved? And thy word was unto me. Watch this. The joy and rejoicing of my heart. Man, you get a taste of the Word of God, it's over for the devil.
Psalm 119.
Verse 72 or something, I think it was. He counted the Word of God more than gold and silver. And then Job, same testimony. He said, I have esteemed the words of your mouth, Lord, more than my necessary food. What do you do, beloved, when you get up in the morning? Do you eat physical food or the Word of God? Good question. Here we go. Verse 3. Love this verse. Please memorize this verse. I say that in Christ-like concern for your life. It will come back to you by the Spirit. You will need this. If you hang around with people like me who are imperfect, you're going to need this. Does this need explanation? Somebody want to read this verse? Verse 3.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Endeavoring means what? Working hard. I think it means working hard, but once you get this scripture in you.
Diligently.
Diligently. Keeping. Endeavoring. Takes a little effort, it sounds like.
And it says that in the chapter before, it says that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Ooh,
And so the only way that we can do this is not by, there's a whole note here about the unity of the Spirit cannot be created by any human being. It already exists for those who have believed the truth and received Christ as the apostle proclaimed in chapters 1 through 3. The Ephesians are now to keep that unity, not through human efforts or organizations, but by living worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called. Spiritual unity is maintained by being loyal to the truth and by keeping in step with the Spirit. It cannot be attained by the flesh.
Beautiful. Notice it's the unity of the Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit in there who's enabling us. And his sister, Debbie, so rightly nailed it. We're strengthened, chapter 3, verse 16, by the might. That's a great prayer. I love that prayer. Strengthen me with might by your Holy Spirit in the inner man, Lord. As I said before, I need that all the time. And gentlemen, when it's time to stand up and rebuke or to deal with an issue, that's a great prayer. That God will give you his strength on the inside, which is infinite. And then as Debbie pointed out, verse 20, we're not limited to our own power. That would be a shame. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Watch this. According to his power, that is to the power of God that worketh in us. Now, we ought to apply ourselves to, conjoined, if you will, with the power of the divine person of the Holy Ghost. Endeavoring, spadazo is the Greek word, and it does mean prompt or earnest, diligence, endeavor, labor, study. And this is something to apply ourselves to, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And again, saints, please memorize this verse, and the best way to do that is write it on an index card with the reference, because you're going to need to share this. You can't share scripture that you don't know, amen? Forget all this, oh, where's that verse? Memorize it with the reference, baby. Becoming a walking biblical student that is rich in the scriptures is the only way you're going to be able to minister as God's minister. We got a whole lot of garbage going around that passes itself off as ministry. That's not ministry at all. If it was of God, it would be scripture upon scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. Isaiah 28. I love also cousin verse here, cross-reference verse with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Psalm 133:1. How good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that unity is only in Christ, who's revealed from Genesis to Revelation on the solid foundation of the Word of God. If you don't believe the Word of God and the essential tenets of the Word of God, we don't have any fellowship with you or foundation of unity. You are a heretic. Verse 4, there is one body. How many bodies does Jesus have? Chapter 2 of this book, Paul spoke about there being one body in Christ, no longer a Jewish nation and everybody else Gentiles. No, Jesus, by his sacrifice on the cross, broke down the middle wall of partition and made one body, whether you be Jew or Gentile, in Christ. There's only one body. There's one Spirit, Holy Spirit, and he dwells in every believer. Amen. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, his name is Jesus. He's a central theme of all the scripture. He's the crucified, risen Savior that by his blood, a people, a remnant people, have been bought back to the Father from sin. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's not talking about water baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:11, that's just specifically talking about the baptism into Christ. There are many baptisms in Scripture. In fact, we read in Hebrews, the doctrine of baptisms, plural. That's one of the seven foundational doctrines of Christ. This is one example of why we need to learn the whole of Scripture. A lot of people, and they're just innocently misled, haven't studied the whole of Scripture yet. They're younger Christians. And when you talk about baptism in water, baptism in the Christ, is specifically what this is speaking about. Again, 1 Corinthians 12:13 speaks of your baptism in the Christ. You're immersed into his kingdom as he brings you into the kingdom of God, granting you repentance unto everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 12:13, good cross-reference, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're baptized into Christ's body, So that's the one baptism he's speaking about there. But there are other baptisms. Baptism of fire, baptism in the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Those are all Bible terms, straight out of the scriptures. Notice verse 6, one God and Father of all. How many gods are there? One. One God. I love 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the Lord, the man, Christ Jesus.
The commentator of this Bible, Donald Stamps, writes here under one Lord, and this is our endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that we agree. He says one Lord means that to profess equal. He says that there's only one Lord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that there's only one Lord means that Jesus Christ's work of redemption is perfect and sufficient, and no other redeemer or mediator is needed to give the believer complete salvation. The believer is to draw near to God through Christ alone. And then 2 also says, also means that to profess equal or greater allegiance to any authority, secular or religious, other than God revealed in Christ and the inspired word is the same as withdrawing oneself from the lordship of Christ and thus from the life that is in him alone. There can be no lordship of Christ or unity of the Spirit.
Nailing it, man. That's right on the money. I don't think it could be said better than that. By the way, Saint, several of us have got this Life in the Spirit study Bible that Brother Debbie was reading from. It's good stuff. And again, it's all commentary or ministry that gives the sense of the scriptures. It's good as long as it's just that. It doesn't carry anywhere but that.
So, and just adding to what he said here, we go back to verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's not that we keep peace. It is that we keep the unity of the Spirit. And here's the Spirit, that there's one Lord. So when someone departs from that and brings in another Lord or gives equal honor to, a greater honor to the true Lord, then you don't have peace. You're going to have disunity within the body.
That's good. In fact, that's a great point, Brother David. If you don't have fellowship with the body,
it's... Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.